Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 this morning. We've only got a couple weeks left in our series here. Psalm 23. We've been looking at a lot in this passage here, and we're going to look a little bit more today. And we'll get done with verse 5, going into verse number 6. I love my pulpit I have now, but the one thing I'm missing, I used to be able to hide things inside of it for illustrations. Now there's nothing to hide. And I always thought, too, if people didn't like what I said and were going to throw tomatoes or something at me, I could hide in it. Now there's no hiding, so you got to be a good aim to throw anything this way. So I'll just leave these here. This is a sermon illustration, so you'll get that there in a few minutes, all right? I'm not extra thirsty this morning. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me through the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. The last four words is where the message comes from this morning. My cup runneth over. Or you could say, my cup overflows. As David penned these words to this awesome psalm that we've been looking at now for several weeks, 8 weeks, I believe. As David penned these words and as he was thinking about the Lord, we don't know exactly what he was doing when he penned these words. I tend to picture in my mind, and I could be completely wrong, but I tend to picture that it was a night, and he was just out there with the sheep, and he was just thinking about the Lord and what the Lord had done in his life. And the goodness of God was overwhelming to him. And he goes into this psalm of praise to God for his goodness. And what you see throughout chapter 23 of Psalms is you see the goodness of God before our eyes. And in our lives, God's goodness is seen and displayed every day. There are times in our life, though, where when God's goodness is there, we don't always see it. Or we literally, like the psalmist said here, my cup overflows. We feel like our cup's running dry instead of overflowing. But I think a problem with that is it's our mindset and where we go. If we dwell on all the things that aren't going well in our lives, that's what we're going to think about. If we dwell on the goodness of God, as David was doing here in this psalm, you see over time how he just says, God, it's overflowing. But there are many Christians, and I'll see it. They'll come to me and they'll be like, Pastor, I feel like I'm running empty. God and his goodness, God doesn't want you to run empty. God wants you to be overflowing. That's how he wants it to be. His goodness, that's what he does in our lives. But there are times, how many of you, now you don't have to answer this. This is a rhetorical question, so you don't need to answer it out loud. But this isn't quite half, but let's say we're half full. We're using our imaginations for a minute. Back at VBS for a minute. How many of you would say, you know, you would look at it and say, well, that's half empty. Or that's half full. It all depends on how you look at it, right? And some of us look at things on a more negative side of things, and some of us look at it in a more positive way. And so if it's half empty, that means, oh, great, I'm almost out. If it's half full, thank God I still got half of it. All depends on how you look at it. You know, when it comes to my car, when it gets to a quarter tank, I like to fill my tank up. Any of you like that? You never let it get real low? There are others that light comes on and they know they've got a certain amount of miles, and they only know that because they've ran out of gas at that certain amount of miles. So they know if they just keep it close to that, they'll be all right. Andrew the other day, and I told this story last service, he's not in here this service, he was in the last one, so I can still talk about him. I need to borrow his car on Wednesday, and he was coming back from a trip, and so I got in his car. And you know how when you start a car, the gauges would go, to know that they work? Well, this gauge went this and then went back down lower than what it was before it even started. There literally was like 3 miles left in there. That was smart. He's going to be gone, so why have gas in there if someone's going to drive it and use it? That was smart. But a lot of times, we don't feel like our cup's overflowing, and it's not because God's goodness isn't real and is there. A lot of times it has to do with our mindset and the way that we think on things. You see, the Lord wants to, you ever buy bottles of water, and some companies you buy them from, they're always down to like here. And then there are some that have these little lids that is like at the very top, and when you open it, it starts flowing out. God doesn't want you just to have a half-empty or a half-full life. He doesn't want you to have a full life. He wants you to have an overflowing life. He didn't come just to give you life. He came to give you life more abundantly. He didn't come just to give you joy. He came to give you joy that would remain and that your joy might be full. That's why he came. And so this morning, as we look and as we continue on about the goodness of God, and I'll use these again later, and so I'm just going to set these here. But as we look at the goodness of God and we talk about this thought, and as we go here, number one, as we dive in this morning, I think about different mindsets. We all have different mindsets at times, and sometimes the way we think about it matters the way we think. Our thinking matters. Do you realize that? The Bible says in Philippians, where it talks about being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It talks about the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, there's virtue or any praise, those are the things to think on. And a lot of times we will look at life and we'll look at different things that go on, and sometimes we get this type of mindset, letter A, the mindset of a shortage mindset, where I'll never have enough and I never will. The disciples had that. Remember, Jesus said, hey, there's 5,000 people, 5,000 men, and who knows how many people there were. And what did he say? Let's feed them. And we don't have enough food. What was the there was a shortage mindset. We don't have enough to feed them. But Jesus said, bring me what you have. And what did Jesus do? He fed them. In 2 Kings chapter number 4, the Bible tells us in chapter 4, verse 42, it says, and there came a man from Baal Shalisha. There you go. Yeah. And brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn, the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And the servitor said, what shall I set this before 100 men? And you might not get the gist of that there. What's saying is, this isn't enough food to feed these people. Why am I going to set it before them? And again he said, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So shall he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. You see, there are many times I don't have enough money, I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough whatever the case may be, I don't have enough opportunities, and we get overwhelmed. The Bible talks about that word, I have, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing that we need that he hasn't taken care of. We think about needs, we think about wanting, lacking, all those things. When we look, there are oftentimes in life we look, well, I don't have enough of this, or I don't have enough of that, whatever the case may be. And the problem is, number one, the result of this shortage mindset is I focus on my limited resources. Again, the focus is on me and what I've got. And in ourselves, we will never have enough. You realize that? Even when you think you have enough, you won't have enough. Someone will say, if I get that raise at work, I'll have enough. And then you know what I hear later on? I got that raise and I need... because we'll never have enough. The other day I was somewhere, where was I? I was in a store, and I had plenty of meat still in the freezer, but they had a good deal on the meat. So, well, why did you buy the meat? Because you'll never have enough meat. You can't go wrong with it, right? And so I still had some in the freezer, but it was a good deal, so why not get it? I can always use it. You never know. You never know what could happen. What happens the day they go to all artificial meat? Oh, thank God I got some real meat in my freezer. And so, anyways, but a lot of times we look at that. My resources, they're limited. There are things that I might not have enough money, enough time, all these things. And the result of that shortage mindset is we get overwhelmed. Because we're looking at things, and instead of being full and letting the goodness of God fill us, we're dwelling on everything else. Which, that's a part of life. Life is hard. Life does have overwhelming moments. All those things happen. You see, but the problem is when we look at things like, I don't have enough, you're not looking at God and his resources. That's why this psalm is from the beginning, David, the Lord's my shepherd. I've got nothing lacking in my life. But when we look at our stuff, oh, I could use that, or I need that. You see the difference? We have that shortage mindset, or letter B, we have that surplus mindset, that God has more than I'll ever need. And God provides and God takes care of his children. With God, you'll never run out. You ask God for a piece of pie, he gives you a whole pie. In fact, he owns the pie factory, right? So he takes care of it. There will always be more with God. God always takes care of things. The word abundance, plentiful, abounding, bountiful are used over and over again. And God is able to take care of us. Because what happens is, you think about this, when we have this mindset that God has more than what I need, the result of this, number one, is that I'm focused on God's limitless resources. Instead of looking to myself and the limits that I have, I'm looking to God and focusing on his limitless resources. You know, I don't have enough money. We all don't have enough money. But I know the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he paves the streets of heaven with gold. He has it all. He has everything. He takes care of everything. And when we focus and we think about that fact, just like looking at the bottle, is it half empty or half full? Are you looking at life through your lens and what you're lacking? Or are you looking to God and looking at what he's done? It's what David does throughout this psalm. Not only, number one, focus on God's, but number two, the result of it is an overflowing life. This is the problem. When we look and we get burdened down by life and all that's going on in life, when that happens to us, we're emptying ourselves. We're worrying. We're doing all these things. But what David does in the psalm, he's literally looking and talking about how good God is and looking to God's goodness. And what's the result of it? He says, hey, my cup's overflowing. God's been so good to me and all that he's done, all that he's doing in my life. And it wasn't just what he's done in the past, but that's what the Lord's doing right now in my life. You know, we know throughout Psalm 23, there are metaphors used throughout. The cup here is not referring to your cup of coffee in the morning. I saw someone the other day posted, I only drink one cup of coffee a day. And this coffee mug was like a 32-ounce coffee mug. And it was a big old cup. That'd be one way to drink your one cup of coffee a day. It's not referring to an actual cup. I believe that cup that is my cup's overflowing, what David's referring to is his life. As a follower of Jesus Christ and being a Christian, our lives are overflowing with abundance and God's goodness because of what he's done. You see, when we stop to take the time to think about all those things, we think about the fact, David used that phrase there, you fill my cup, or my cup is overflowing. Now, I hear oftentimes Christians will say, I don't feel that way. I don't feel like my cup's full and overflowing. I feel like I'm running dry. I feel like there's not much left. I feel like my tank's on empty. The gas light's been on for a while. I want to feel that overflowing life. I want that my cup overflowing. You know, Jesus said in John 7, verse 38 and 39, he said this, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now we know that that's a metaphor there too, right? Literally not going to have water coming out your belly button. That's not what it's talking about right there. But it's talking about, you think about it, a few weeks ago the well went out here at church. And we get so used to things, right? I'm just used to turning on a faucet and water coming out. It's not always been that way. People had to pump things and get water in lots of different ways than what we do today. But literally, I can go to the faucet right now, turn it on, and it's going to flow. But every once in a while, the well might break, the pump might go out, whatever it did that here. Your water might go out at home because of a water break somewhere, you forget to pay your bill. With the Lord, it never stops. It's never going to stop. it flows. Say, what about when things aren't going so good? What about when I'm being taught a lesson or something from God? You know, even in those times, God is still good. And you can have the abundant Christian life in the midst of those days too. Love what it says in Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God. Look what it says here. Which teacheth thee to profit. That word profit means good or benefit. God teaches us things for our good. You did that for your children, right? If you had kids, you would do things for their benefit. They might not always see it that way, but you're doing it for their good. All that God does is good. That's who God is. And he does things for our good, as the scripture says. Jesus said in John 10, verse number 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life. And look at this, not just life, but that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus didn't come so you could live your life on empty. He came so your life could be full. He came so your life could be overflowing. That's why he came. See, as we look at this morning, I want to give you, and the message won't be too long this morning, but I want to take the last few minutes this morning and talk about point number two and give you some habits for living an overflowing life and how to stop living an overwhelmed life. How to quit running on empty and how to live an overflowing life. Several things that come in mind. And when we look at letter A, you got to stay connected to Jesus every day. See, this is the problem. You can look up here for my illustration for a second. We will go, 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 go. This world depletes us, and it's just water, so we'll be okay, okay? We get emptied. You know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to fill you back up. Not only does he want to fill you up, he wants to make it overflow. But when you don't connect to Jesus, abide in him. John 15. The Bible's clear about this. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It says, for without me ye can do what? Nothing. Verse 7 of that same chapter says, if ye abide in me, and look what it says, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, as even I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, look what it says here, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Say, Pastor, I'm always feeling like I'm running on empty. When's the last time you just connected with Jesus? When's the last time you abided in him? Hey, when's the last time you picked up the Word of God and read it? Say, oh, Pastor, that's elementary stuff. I know it is in the Christian life. But the question is, did you do it this last week? When's the last time you took time to connect with him? Say, Pastor, my life's running dry. I feel empty. When's the last time you spent time in prayer? When's the last time you connected with Jesus? Say, well, I don't read my Bible often. Do you eat? Every day we eat, right? We do. When's the last time you read his word? Well, I just don't. You say you feel empty. You want to be filled up? You need to abide in him. I'm not a farmer. And thank God I'm not a farmer, but I'm not a farmer. And I've not grown many crops. I'm trying to get some boysenberry bushes to work out. And I've tried to do some things with an orange tree and things like that. But one thing that's very clear, you break a branch off from a tree, it's not going to produce fruit. And unless you abide in the vine, you need to abide in the vine. When's the last time you just spent 15 minutes reading the Word of God, feasting on the riches of His Word? When's the last time you just spent 15 minutes in prayer? When's the last time you just meditated on a verse? When's the last time you just spent some time with God? So in my life, I feel like I'm on empty. Well, a car gets empty, and what do? You go put gas in it. A vacuum cleaner doesn't do you any good if you don't plug it in, right? You got to have power. You say, well, I have a battery operate one. Well, somebody's got to charge the battery. There's electricity used in one way or the other with it. When's the last time you plugged in and recharged? That's what we need in the Christian life. You say, I don't feel overflowing. You haven't connected to the source. He's there. He wants to help you. He wants to make your life so that it's overflowing and flowing out. That's the life He has for you. He doesn't want you to feel empty as a Christian. There's no need for a Christian to feel empty because of what the Lord's done in our lives. The Lord's so good to us. Stay connected to Jesus. Number two, or letter B, stop complaining and start being grateful. Stop complaining. This isn't big enough, or I don't have this. It's like the weather. A few months ago, it's raining too much. It's too cold. Now it's too hot. And then 2 days ago, it cooled off a little bit. It's humid now. And we're always complaining. Think about this. Thank God you live in Southern California and you get this weather. I'm going to be in Tennessee in a couple weeks. I'm not looking forward to that humidity. You can almost taste the humidity. It's that bad. You guys going to Michigan, same thing. It's awful. And then in the wintertime, I'm glad I don't live in the Midwest. It's so cold and rainy. How would you like it to snow? Yeah, someone just said, yeah, back there. Live in it for a week and see how much you would love it. And 0-degree temperature and the wind chill factor and all this. Someone told me a couple weeks ago, like, I visited Wisconsin and it was beautiful. I'm like, just wait till the snow comes. There's nothing beautiful about that snow. The green is nice in the summer. I know people, it's so dry out here. Be grateful for what you have. We complain way too much. I was reading an article just yesterday that someone put in the Champion this week. They said something about gratitude is good for your health. And it really is. Did you know that? And you can live a longer life just because of science proves it. Did you know when we take the time, you think about this when it comes to being grateful, studies have shown that when you're grateful, it produces serotonin in your brain. It produces dopamine in your brain and oxytocin in your brain. Literally. Now, when you look at those things, the oxytocin, literally, when you have this, I'm trying to think of a great way to describe this here, is that feeling good hormone inside of us. That literally, there are certain times a mother feeds her child. That is released. When a husband and wife are together, that is produced. You know, literally, don't take this bad or the wrong way. But we have people using drugs to get high and all these things to make themselves feel better. And if you got high on gratitude, you could do more than what those drugs would do in your life. There's a lot of truth right there. If we would just be grateful and thankful for the things that the Lord does in our lives, we always are complaining. I would encourage you, get up in the morning. And when you get up in the morning, before you get out of bed, thank the Lord for 10 things. Name 10 things you're grateful for. Say, well, I don't know if I have 10. Well, here, I'll give you a couple. That you're still alive. There's one. Because, right, if you're up in the morning, before you get up and those bones start to creak or anything else starts to happen, before any of that, give the 10 things you're grateful for. Start out the day. Instead of complaining, be grateful. That's what this psalm's all about. Instead of looking at, I'm sure David's life is not always great. Haven't we seen that throughout his life as we study it? His life wasn't always great. But instead of complaining about all those things, be grateful for what God's doing in the midst of everything else going on. That's what we need today. Be grateful. Thank Him when you get up in the morning for all that He's done in your lives. We complain about everything, don't we? What does the Bible say? In Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. A Christian should be constantly thankful for what's going on in their lives. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. This is God's will for us. God wants you to be thankful for all that he's done. Say, well, I just don't know. Look at this or look at this situation. Be grateful. Last Sunday, my air went out at the house. And of course it had to be a Sunday, right? It couldn't be the day the shops are open that I go get a capacitor or the fan motor that I needed. It has to be Sunday when they're all closed. So I could sit there and complain all night that I don't have air, or I could sit there and be thankful that the other times I have air, right? What if we lived 100 years ago? No one had air. Thank God we have air. So what was I doing that night? I was sitting there with no air in the house. I was thanking God that most of the time I have air. Because that's something to be thankful for. About 15 years ago in this church, there wasn't any air, and the windows couldn't open. Could you imagine what it would have been like? Hearing a long sermon from a hot-winded preacher and having no air in the room at the same time. That would be as close to purgatory as anything you could get. Be thankful. You can complain or you can be thankful. I would encourage you to be grateful for all that the Lord's done. And do you know what happens? When you quit complaining about what you don't have and be grateful for what you have, it's like all of a sudden inside of you, it's like, and this worked good last service. You see, it's like you start overflowing because all God's goodness and all that he's done. You don't feel like you're half empty or empty because you're focused in the wrong spot. Stop complaining and be grateful. Say, I have nothing to be grateful for. That's not true. We all. Okay, you tell me nothing in life is going well and you have nothing to be grateful for. What about the fact that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you? Is that something you could be grateful for? So we all have something we could be grateful for. And if God did nothing but that for us, that is more than enough gratitude for the rest of our lives for what Jesus did on the cross for us. Hey, stay connected to Jesus every day. Stop complaining and start being grateful. Number three, stop comparing and start being content. This is a big problem in our world today. We look at everyone else and what they have. I see this especially in younger adults or even adults my age where they look at those who are retired and have all these different things. They work to get where they are. And you want what they have when you're like 30 years old and it took them till 70 or 80 to get what they have. Be content where you are. We oftentimes compare, we look at others and the things that they have or the things that they do. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Are they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves? It's not wise. It's foolish to do that. You know, we see it, though, all the time. Someone in your class at school, you're in seventh grade, and someone got an A on the test, and you want to do better than they did. People compare themselves all the time. Play sports? Why am I as good as that person? We compare often. Is my lawn as green as their lawn? Is my church like their church? It happens all the time. And what God says is it's foolish. It's foolish to do that. And you know, social media doesn't help us today. That's all social media does. We see someone with something and we're like, I want that. Someone posts that they just got their Starbucks. They got their brand new, what's that new? They had a new drink just out recently with the different colors and things, and they got this, and I got this, and someone's like, oh, I want that, and so they got to go get it and take their selfie too. People do that. We have to one-up others. We aren't content. So-and-so had a special party, but I didn't get invited to the party, so that's a big deal. That happens a lot of times around our church. It's sad that people will throw birthday parties, and they're worried about who they invite and who they don't invite because of what people are going to say or do. You know what my thought is? If someone invites me to their party, awesome, wonderful, I'll bring a gift, I'll be there, and hopefully they got good food. And then my second thought is, if they don't invite me, praise God, I get to stay home. I don't have to buy a gift, and it's all good. I don't think, oh, they don't like me. No, maybe they forgot, or maybe they don't like me. I don't know. It could be either way, but it really doesn't matter. Just be content. Learn to be content. Paul said he learned it. It's not natural in us. You know, you look at people on Facebook and Instagram, all those things, all this. Do you ever see a lady wake up first thing in the morning and say, natural selfie right here? No, they fix their face up and get everything just right. Or they use the filter on there to make it seem like they've done all that stuff, because there's filters to do that stuff. You post saying, you know, Vacation Bible School is going great, and I'm not going to take a picture of the kid throwing the tantrum running off and post that. I'm going to show a full room of kids singing. But somehow we think that the social media is a reality. And literally, it's not. Everyone posts their good days. I saw someone a few days ago, they were posting something. And it's none of you here, so don't be thinking I'm talking about you in this room. But someone posted, they have like 8 or 9 kids or something, and they're like, everything was perfect, and they're out for a walk together, and everything's great. They don't post that every day, because there are days it doesn't go so perfectly. But we look at someone's reality on Facebook or on their social media, and we think that we want to be like that. You know, Seth back here, Seth's quite a good pitcher back there. I used to think I could be a good pitcher against my brother in the yard. I'm not going to have an arm like Seth. And if I tried to throw like that, I'd probably throw my arm out of socket. I don't need to compete. I don't need to compare myself. We don't need to do those things. It's foolish to do those things. Be content where you are. Be content with what the Lord's doing in your life. Learn to be content. We just live in a day and age where no one is content. We want this or we want that or all these different things. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 7, it says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou not received it? And what that verse is saying right there? God's given you everything that you have. Every ability and talent. Why? We're all different. I'm glad this world isn't full of Brians. It'd be an awful world if this world was full of Brians. Really would. It might be fun for like 5 minutes, but after 5 minutes, it'd be terrible. And you're glad that the world isn't full of people just like you as well. But God's given us each talents and abilities, and that's what makes up an awesome church, is all the different talents and abilities that God's given us to use for his honor and for his glory. And so we need to quit. Be content. Say, I want that fancy car. Do you want that payment that they have for that fancy car? Say, I don't have air conditioning in my car. Hey, can you roll the windows down? If you can't roll down the windows, I don't know what to do. You know, get a bicycle, and that might be a little bit better. I don't know. I want this or I want that. Be content. And parents, this is a side note right here. Be careful what you do with your kids, where you give them everything that they want. Because they're going to think that that's what life is, and life revolves around them and everything that they want. There are times you have to say no and teach them to be content with what they have. That's an important balance and lesson, and I'm not telling you what the balance is there. You need to figure that out for yourselves, but I'd be careful with those things. Mindset. Hey, when's the last time you just spent time with God and connected with Jesus? When's the last time you were grateful instead of complaining? When's the last time you were content and stopped comparing? How about this one lastly? Stop being stingy and start being generous. Stingy, yeah. We look at the church in Macedonia. They didn't give out of their abundance. They gave out of their poverty, right? We look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8. These are awesome verses. Talks about New Testament giving. And I have people often ask me, what are your thoughts about tithing? A tithe is an Old Testament command. I don't know if you realize that. It is an Old Testament command. The New Testament, it was done away with. Because it was something you had to do, right? You had to tithe in the Old Testament. And if you didn't, you were robbing God, right? We know those verses because almost every pastor in America has used those verses before. Will a man rob God? You're robbing God because you're not tithing. It's an Old Testament thing. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8. And no, if you put your tithe check in the offering plate, you can't have it back. I said that after the offering, okay? Look at verse number 6. It says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give. Look what it says here. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. I have to tithe. No, you give. God loves a cheerful giver. You don't give today because you have to. You give because of what the Lord's done in your life. And look at what the next verse says. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Look at what it says. Always having all sufficiency in all things. You do what you should do, and God will take care of you. I used the example in the last service, and he was here, so I used Russ as an example. Russ hurt his back in 85. That's the same year I was born. So 4 months in October of 85, he hurt his back, and he and Joyce were worried, really worried, that they would be able to take care of their bills and be able to pay everything that they needed to. And literally, God got her a job. And if you know, the reason why I'm using Russ and Joyce as an example, there are not two more giving people than Russ and Joyce. Now, thank the Lord for Russ and Joyce. Joyce is a little bit, she isn't quite like Russ. Like Russ, you need a walker, he would have given you his walker this morning, he'd give you his oxygen, he would give you anything at any given moment. Joyce has a little common sense to add to that, which is good. But they're two of the most giving people I've ever met. And by the time Joyce was 70, she was able to retire. House paid off. They have, and this was Russ's words, even last service. They still have more than what they know to do with. Because God takes care of us. Are you living through the mindset of, I just don't have enough? Or are you looking through the mindset of, God does have enough? And God's blessed me and done so much. Why am I going to complain? Why can't I just be grateful for all that you've done in my life? Why am I going to hold on when I know God's going to take care of everything? Now, as we look at the psalmist here and we look at those words, my cup runs over. That's the life that God has for us. And he came to give you that life. And if you're a child of his today, guess what? You have that life. I would encourage you to get time with Jesus every day. I would encourage you to stop complaining and be grateful. I would encourage you to be content. Quit comparing and be content. I would quit being so stingy and be generous. God always takes care of everything. And I look at my life. God, I think most of us in this room would agree that God's been far better to each of us than what we deserve. And when we keep our mindset on that, our cups are overflowing. When we look at what we don't have and what others have, that doesn't help us. The psalmist was focused on the fact, hey, God's done all these things. God's goodness is evident everywhere. My cup's overflowing. That's what he's got for you. He's an awesome, amazing, wonderful God. And you know what this world needs to see? This world doesn't need to keep seeing Christians that are empty all the time. Because you're not empty. You've been given the Spirit. You've been given all the blessings of God. What this world needs to see in the midst of dark, despair days, crazy days in our world, there needs to be Christians that are just overflowing. People are going to want that. Remember, Jesus came to the woman at the well and said, hey, you come to me, you're never going to thirst again. You'll never need anything else. What an awesome, wonderful Savior we have. And his goodness just keeps building and building so we can overflow. Father, we thank you for your word.